Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the podcast talk show for parents. I'm Janice Robinson Celeste, your host and publisher of Successful Parenting Media. I want you to tell all of your friends and followers about the show. After all, sharing is caring. Know that our hashtag for the show is hashtag Back Talk. Now, I have a special guest today. His name is David Adams. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Urban Assembly. He created a program that integrates social emotional learning into classroom curriculums. So, hi, David.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Now, before we dive into the subject of social emotional learning, can you please explain to some of our audience members what social emotional development is and why it is important?
Absolutely, Janice. So social and emotional development basically is the process by which people learn to solve interpersonal problems. That means problems between people, intrapersonal problems. That means problems within ourselves in order to maximize their environment, right? So an interpersonal problem might be something like relationship skills. It may be something like conflict resolution. It may be something like communication. How might I communicate effectively to the people around me? An intrapersonal problem may be something like, how do I regulate my moods or my emotions towards a goal? How do I manage myself towards an end state? And all these things are focused on effective problem solving and the good decision making.
Now, that's great. Now, why is that important for young children? That sounds really heavy, right? That they need to know all this stuff. But why is it important? How does that manifest itself in daily life?
Well, these skills, these social and emotional skills, really undergird so much of what makes children successful, right? So as opposed to saying we're trying to prevent challenges, we're really trying to promote effective thriving in all of our children. So it's kind of like a process that's similar to language. When children hear language, they start to develop their own language, but we still send them to school so that they learn how to manipulate that language to be the most successful they can. And social emotional learning is the same way. When children are exposed to high-quality interactions through parenthood, they learn things like self-regulation. They learn how to communicate their needs and wants. But when they go to school, they can learn the explicit strategies to expand their range of what they do well, enhance what they're already effective at, and learn how to manipulate different kinds of strategies to get their needs met and wanted, and their their needs met effectively. So that's the key piece here. And when you look at the research, we see that these social and emotional skills are predictive of all kinds of positive outcomes for young people. So less likely to be in risky sexual behavior, more likely to do academically well, less likely to have diagnosable mental health challenges when exposed to high quality social emotional learning. It's not all. They're also less likely to be on public housing using public assistance, less likely to have difficulty in relationships, and more likely to be earning more money. And this is 20 years after exposure to high quality social and emotional learning. So the idea is we're taking what students and young people do well through interactions with their family and community and being explicit in it so that young people can use that to be even more successful across their lifespan.
Well, we are Successful Parenting Media, and Successful Black Parenting is our founding publication. So this falls right in line with helping parents to have successful children. So we need to look at social emotional learning and development very closely, especially for a foundation for young children. So let's talk about a little bit about your organization, Urban Assembly, so that our parents will know about it. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about your organization?
I sure can, Janice. So the Urban Assembly's mission is to enhance the economic and social mobility of young people by improving public education. And we do that by providing innovation within public education, which means we take generalizable problems and we scale them from our schools to all schools. We've got 23 schools in New York City, but we do school support across the country, across a range of functions, including social and emotional learning, post-secondary access, things like to and through college and career, academics, as well as leadership support.
Okay, so this is not just for young children.
Social emotional learning, no. I mean, Dennis, if you have ever been in a workplace or you've ever been on a team, you've used your social emotional skills. Have you ever been in an argument with a spouse and resolved that argument constructively? You've used your social emotional skills. If you've ever worked to be in communication with somebody, who may be different from you, and try to take their perspective, you've used your social and emotional skills, right? So we're saying that this is part and parcel of the education system. This is not an add-on. This is not something that's nice to have. This is what it means to be educated in 2022 in America.
Okay. Well, what behaviors might adults see in a child who has not had maybe social, emotional learning and support from a young age?
Well, you're going to see a child who's really struggling to solve social and emotional problems. All right. So imagine you have a young person who has feeling frustrated and has not learned how to label that emotion of frustration. So they may be acting out frustration as opposed to communicating frustration. Now, this young person had been taught some social emotional skills. First, they would have known that they need to identify their emotional state through their body and their language. Then they need to communicate what they need and want effectively and constructively to the people around them. And then lastly, they're going to manage their state in line with what they're trying to accomplish in the world, right? So one of the ways that we do this is when young people struggle, one of the questions that I ask of my own children, as well as the children that I work at the Urban Assembly, is what problem were you trying to solve, right? After the crisis has come to a pass and the child has returned to baseline, I ask them, what problem were you trying to solve? Well, the teacher wasn't listening to me, or I didn't win the game. I understand. Well, help me understand how your emotions or behavior helped us solve that problem. Did throwing a desk help the teacher pay attention? Did throwing the controller help you win the game? Well, not really. Well, what's some ways that we could have done that in a different way? So when students struggle to have and display the social emotional skills that we need with fluency, everything from their emotions to their relationships suffer. I mean, at the highest rate, we would see people who need to be incarcerated or removed from a general education setting because they're really struggling to solve these kinds of problems that allow them to be successful in life.
Okay. Yeah, I notice asking children questions also helps them with critical thinking skills so they can figure these things out. And that sticks with them as they grow. I know, for instance, with our young kids here, we say things like, I know, especially when they're just, okay. I'm not sure what happened there, but good thing I'm editing this and we're not live, but things can happen when you're live too. So, all right. So I'm not sure what just happened, but we're going to pick up from there. Okay. So let's just start over. So with our little ones here, when they're having a problem and they're really upset, we acknowledge their feelings right away. We say, oh, I see you're having some big feelings about that. Do you want to talk about it? If they don't, we give them their space. If they do, we put them on our lap and let them explain to us what's going on. And then we follow up with questions. Well, how could we do this better? So it's very similar to what you just said. And I do think it's important to have that base. And if children are lucky enough to start young with this social emotional support. So my question is, because you talked about doing this all the way until adulthood, but what if children never had it along the way? Is it too late for like children in their teens who have not had social emotional support from their parents at a young age? Is it too late for them?
It's never too late for young people to develop their social emotional skills. The idea here is being explicit in what you're teaching, and so that students can be explicit in what they know and what they're learning, right? And so in the example that you gave, it's very hard to understand folks' emotions if nobody narrates the emotional state that they're in, right? Everything from saying, hey, I'm feeling frustrated as an adult, or I'm feeling disappointed or angry, that gives a young person the vocabulary to start to regulate their own emotional state. So everywhere from early childhood all the way up to adulthood, we can develop our social and emotional skills. And I'll give you a simple example of this. If you go to law school, you're going to learn active listening. If you go to be a social worker, you're going to learn active listening, how to take information in, paraphrase, and put it back to your client that you're working with. That's the same thing that we teach high schoolers and middle schoolers when they're developing relationships, how to listen, how to understand what other people say, and how to push that back. If you are, again, a lawyer or a negotiator or a mediator, you're going to learn perspective taking skills, how to understand things from the perspective of somebody else. And you're probably going to go through a negotiation spreadsheet, right, in which you're trying to identify what the interest and values are of the person you're negotiating with. essentially that's the same skill that we're teaching young people, except it's not about necessarily being a lawyer or a realtor or a negotiator. It's about being a person who can solve problems that are in life. And so as we think about moving that young person from school to civic life, now we're talking about solving problems of community in community, right? How might we understand how to come together in a community, in an example of a town hall, when there are differences of perspectives? You're going to have to do the same skills of perspective taking, of communication, of active listening, of self-management to get to a consensus of how to move forward. So these are the same skills that are important for young people when learning math for the first time and feeling frustrated, or learning to read, all the way up to adulthood, when you, folks like you and me are trying to navigate and build consensus across difference in our communities.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about how to ask questions when children are upset, but we're talking social as well, emotional skills. Is it more just that we need to have children have play dates? I mean, what else can our parents do to translate this social emotional learning into their and bring it into their home?
That's a great question, Janice. And the first thing parents can do is ensure that they have high quality interactions with their young people, with their children. So what does that mean? You talked a little bit about it before, but the first thing is to talk to your child a lot. Talking to children builds up their vocabulary, and building up their vocabulary gives them an ability to understand what they're feeling because they have language around it. So the first thing parents can do is talk a lot about their own emotions, right? You know, I'm feeling really frustrated today. What's frustrated? Oh, that's when you want something, you didn't really get it. I'm feeling really angry today. Well, what's angry? Well, when there's injustice, we feel angry, right? So giving that emotional vocabulary is really, really key. Secondly, when young people are getting into a mode of crisis, I'm helping them understand what it is that they were trying to accomplish and other methodologies to make that happen. So when we see a young person throw something down or yell, the first thing to do is give them a space and say, hey, how are you feeling right now? And then when they talk about their feelings, give them an understanding of another way to express that in a way that is a little bit more appropriate for the situation that they're trying to accomplish, right? We need to be teaching our young people at all times. So if we're going to punish young people in terms of trying to diminish the behavior, we got to really think, what is it that we're trying to teach them to do? And we're probably trying to teach them to express themselves appropriately and express their needs and wants appropriately, or manage their more emotions more appropriately to the environment. So all those interactions matter. Every single interaction helps a young person develop their own skills. And as you move from co-regulation, which is when adults are really working with young people to regulate, to self-regulation, where the young people in themselves can identify their emotions and identify regulation strategies, we're going to see that pathway towards independence and young people moving from young people who need our help to do things to young people who are independent in managing their social emotional needs.
Absolutely. Now, we have parents that are probably listening that are thinking to themselves, this sounds like gentle parenting. It is basically, right? We're talking to our kids now. And gentle parenting is where you basically help your children to solve their issues. And you're talking to your kids. And so I think this feeds right into that. And some people say it like it's a dirty word, like, oh, it's gentle parenting. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be able to treat your children as little humans and respect them as well as you want to be respected as an adult and talk to them. They are little humans. They have feelings. And what I found out as your children grow is they don't forget anything. You can have a bad day and they might remember that bad day and they will tell you about it when you've forgotten about it for years. So not to make people afraid to, you know, say the wrong thing, but your children, you know, they can remember things. So it's good to talk to them as if they're little humans and not like they're less than. So I think this is very on par with that. And I think that many parents need to look into it a bit more, and we're going to be doing an article about gentle parenting. So stay tuned for that. Now, I'm going to ask you a few more questions about parents, but I want to get into your book a little later because you also work with teachers, and being a teacher, that's really important to me. But how does screen time perhaps for children come into play with the social part of the social emotional development?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, there's a number of different kinds of screen time and they do different kinds of things, right? So I have my own two children, Elijah and Isaiah, and they're 9 and 10. They're really big on the Nintendo Switch. And when we got the Nintendo Switch, we talked about the role of video games in helping us work together, because we play kind of cooperative games as well as competitive games. on the Nintendo Switch. We usually don't have one-on-one games, single-person games, I should say, where you're only playing by yourself, right? You're usually playing in the community. And so it really is about what we use screen time to teach our young people. Dennis, you kind of mentioned this earlier, you can teach social emotional skills with a lot of things, with sports, with painting, with art, with conversation. You could teach social emotional skills in a lot of different ways. And so screen time can be a really good tool to teach it or not, right? It really depends on how we are working with our young people to use it and where it sits around the range of inputs that young people have into their social emotional lives. I will say that there's some research out there that has negatively correlated screen time, particularly in social media, with young women and things like anxiety and depression. And coming out of the pandemic, we saw the increase of anxiety and depression by a lot, particularly for young women, including suicide ideation, right? And some of that has to do with the lack of socialization, the intensity of the screen time and the intensity of the relationships in that space. And so it's really not a yes or no question. It's a question of how we mix it, what our purpose and what our intent is, and how we let our young people know what they're experiencing in internet and social media may or may not be reflective of the real world. So in that case, I would say I'm mixed on it. There's a lot of positives. We need to do some better on some of those negative aspects of it. And I know we've been working with some organizations to help decrease the amount of negativity in the social media space and increase positive interactions in social media. And like anything else, the more positive interactions we have, the better our social emotional development and the better our mental health. So to the extent that we're using that for positive interactions is the extent that students and young people's social emotional development is enhanced.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like what you were saying too, is that parental involvement while they're using these video games is very important to kind of direct them, right? To make sure that they're not playing alone, for instance, to make sure that they are socializing while they're using it, if possible, because the future is changing with video games and virtual worlds, right? So soon, that's going to be a big deal. Many people, including like children, will live some part of their time in this virtual reality, and it will become addictive. Have you thought about how that will come into play with social emotional development? I mean, they will be interacting with other people more than likely, but that's something to think about for the future as well.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, I'll say a couple of things. One is I'm very interactive with my kids playing Smash Brothers and making sure they know that their dad is the number one Smash Brothers player. So fear not. I mean, secondly, you know, to the extent that folks are looking at a virtual experience for high quality relationships and high quality interactions, it means that we've failed them in the real world and that they're looking for something somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And by giving it an out where they can interact with folks in a non-physical space, I think we are telling folks that there's not quality interactions and quality relationships here around them. And so as parents, we really need to invest in our young people and develop the quality interactions and relationships with them. It's not soft, it's high quality parenting, right? Making sure that your kids can speak to you, making sure you have structures and systems in your home, and making sure that you're developing the skills that they're gonna need in real life, decision-making skills. I'll give you a small example of this. My kids get allowance every week. It's about $6, I think, now. And one of the reasons that we give them allowance is not because they're good kids or bad kids, but just to teach them how to make decisions with money and that things cost money. So when they want something, the first question I always have is, how much money do you have? And how much money do you need? And feel free to get the thing that you want by saving up your allowance, but this is why we give you allowance. So think about goal-directed behavior and self-management. It helps them develop that. It helps them develop decision-making skills, right? It helps them develop relationship skills with their brothers, because if they want something that's really expensive, they need to put their allowance together in order to get that to happen, right? So you can teach these concepts across a range of mediums. The question is being intentional about what it is that you're trying to accomplish and then choosing what methodology is the best way to make that happen.
Yes, I agree with that. And it's just one of my concerns, I guess, would be that, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists will have to find new methods to treat people, because this is going to change the world. And it's only a matter of bandwidth before we have virtual reality with avatars that look exactly like us, not cartoonish, you know, look exactly like us. So the world is about to change within the next 2 to 3 years, probably. But let's talk about your book for educators on this subject. What do you do in the classrooms, first of all, with teachers? Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So across the country, the Urban Assembly is a solutions provider around social and emotional learning. And in order to do that, we work with the program called the Resilience Scholars Program. And that helps to identify, integrate, and sustain high quality social and emotional learning in schools and classrooms. Now, the book that I wrote, co-wrote with my authors, David Caruso and Lisa Rees, is focused on emotional intelligence for educators. And it's a practical book that focuses on the baseline and the foundations of the theory of emotional intelligence. So it's looking at how to map and match and move and create meaning out of one's emotional state in order to solve problems. One thing that you note when you look at the book is that it has really key examples of how to take these big ideas and theories and apply them to regular situations at schools. So every time a teacher thinks about what their emotions are and what they mean and then how to regulate them towards an outcome, they're using their emotional intelligence. And I want this book to help teachers to use that emotional intelligence a little bit more intentionally to help young people learn.
I think this book would be a great gift for Teacher Appreciation Day. I'm just saying, because I mean, all teachers could use this and bring this into the classroom. And I think we need to see more of it, being a teacher and observing other classrooms. So just tell people where they can find your book.
Great. You can find my book on Amazon.com. So feel free to just look up The Educator's Practical Guide to Emotional Intelligence, and my book will pop up. And as Jams is saying, it's a great book for teachers' appreciation, right? It's about helping them harness their emotions to accomplish what they want to accomplish. So it's not about being gentle. It's not about being nice. It's about being effective. And emotional intelligence and social emotional skills help us all be that much more effective in what we do.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you would like to tell our parents before we come to an end?
Look, I have two kids of my own, Janice, and I know it's a journey, and it's a wonderful and gracious journey in order to be a parent. We're all doing the best we can, and it's folks like you and your podcast that helps us remind ourselves that we can do a little bit better in community with others, right? We can do a little bit better by listening to the experiences and the stories of others, and I've hoped to spend a little bit of time here helping folks understand how social and emotional learning can help us all be better parents for our young people who deserve them.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate you coming on the show.
You're very welcome.
All right. And thank all of you for participating and listening to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the videocast and syndicated podcast talk show for parents. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Black Parenting One and on Instagram at Successful Black Parenting. Again, our website is also full of great content to help you to thrive and not just survive as a parent. And I want you to rate our podcast. And until next time, I wish you all the best and much success. Take care.